the one thing that we've tried to focus on is protecting our patients not only from COVID-19, but as importantly to us, is to protect them from having morbidity and mortality from untreated cardiovascular disease. With decreased scan times and decreased radiation exposures, improved sensitivity and specificity, PET not only is a great imaging modality to begin with, but it's been the safest stress imaging modality for the pandemic as well.
Welcome to MedAxiom Heart Talk, the podcast where thought leaders come together for one ultimate goal: to continually transform and optimize cardiovascular care for all. MedAxiom Heart Talk starts now.
This is Cheryl Toth, host of MedAxiom Heart Talk. Over the last few months, cardiovascular services leaders have made massive shifts in operational and care protocols to accommodate the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we're going to learn how one MedAxiom member organization adapted its operations and care protocols specifically in its PET imaging program. And we'll hear how the organization is planning to keep patients and employees safe as we all emerge from pandemic restrictions. Our guests for this conversation are from Heart and Vascular at Hattiesburg Clinic. Calling in from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, are cardiologist Dr. Christopher Douglas and lead imaging technologist Jamie Branch. Thanks to both of you for being on MedAxiom Heart Talk today.
Thank you for inviting us. We're happy to be here.
So for those who may not be familiar with Hattiesburg Clinic, it's been providing care to people in South Mississippi for a long time, since 1963, and it's the largest multi-specialty group in the state with more than 300 physicians and providers who serve more than 18 counties. Dr. Douglas, I thought I would sort of kick things off with you. Tell us what drew you to join Heart and Vascular at Hattiesburg Clinic and just a bit about your practice there.
Sure. So I'm actually an interventional cardiologist here. I have a large clinical practice that involves both cath lab and imaging, as well as a large portion of general cardiology with clinic care. I was drawn to the clinic. I'm actually from Gulfport, Mississippi, which is a town about 60 miles south of here. So this was coming home to me. I'm also married to a physician who's also from this area. So it was a real privilege for me to have the opportunity to come back home and take care of people that helped shape who I am. So that's what brought me to Hattiesburg.
That's great. And Jamie, you've been with Heart and Vascular for 20 years, starting as a nuclear technologist and moving into the lead imaging technologist role. What's kept you engaged there for such a long time?
Hattiesburg Clinic is just a great place to be a part of. We're a very family-friendly oriented facility. We try to keep up on top of the advanced practices that are out there, and especially with imaging, and they allow us to bring that in and incorporate it to our facility.
Mm-hmm. Well, and why don't you continue by, let's set some context. I kind of want to give everyone a sense of Heart and Vascular at Hattiesburg Clinic prior to the pandemic. Number of physicians, type of services, volumes. Give us kind of the 30,000 foot overview.
Sure. We have up to 12 cardiologists, 5-6 nurse practitioners and physician assistants. We go from anywhere from echo, cardiac CTA, vascular, nuclear cardiology, and cardiac PET. Of course, before this pandemic, each modality was booked daily. So we're a pretty busy facility. Mm-hmm. The volume, especially coming from PET, we were, doing procedures, 15, 16 patients a day. Nuclear cardiology, which is another one of our modalities, was anywhere from 10 to 12 a day. Cardiac PET is mainly referrals from inside the clinic as far as from our cardiology group. A lot of the referrals came in from outside guys from the nuclear cardiology. And that's what we're still kind of low on that volume, just because they haven't picked back up their full load yet.
Well, and so as you've described prior to the pandemic, how did things change in PET imaging when COVID-19 happened? Dr. Douglas, you want to share a little bit about, what happened when all of this came?
Sure. So as Jamie was mentioning, we're a very busy clinic. We see a large volume and we take care of almost 800,000 patients in our 18 to 19 county territory, depending on which county you're going to include at what times. And before the pandemic, I mean, we were booked. You know, we'd have 2-3 week waiting periods sometimes trying to get patients in for imaging modalities. When the pandemic hit, we saw at the beginning, honestly, we didn't see a huge change because a lot of those patients, as we said, were already booked out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those patients in the beginning, I don't think really completely comprehended how serious the pandemic was going to be and how much of a risk it was going to be, especially to patients that had cardiovascular risk associated with the viral infection. So at the beginning, we didn't have a whole lot of change. What changed pretty rapidly was after we went through that backlog, well, patients, one, I think, began to cancel their own stress tests, which was concerning to us because obviously, you know, we don't do routine stress testing. All of our stress imaging that we do are usually for symptomatic patients or to help manage stable, you know, coronary artery disease. And so that was concerning that a lot of patients took it upon themselves out of fear to cancel these tests. The second thing we saw was that our clinic volumes dropped dramatically. And the bigger issue was our primary care physician clinic volumes dropped dramatically. So our new patient referrals dropped. And that's what we saw probably in the two-week range, probably the end of March is when we really started to see our volumes fall.
Wow. So that, and that from a referral standpoint, that's concerning, I'm sure, with the big drop right on the PCP side. So what did you do to deal with some of that? How have you modified some of the operations specifically at key process points like check-in and during the test itself and post-test results discussion? What did you do to accommodate these patients?
Sure. So one of the advantages of being part of a large multi-specialty group like we have here is that there are a lot of smart people that get together on a regular basis and try to figure out the best way to approach these crises situations. And so we've taken a lot of lead from our clinic itself and then from a department standpoint as well. I mean, we've had weekly meetings on the best way to care for patients and bring them in safely and get them the care that they need without neglecting cardiovascular care and also prevent putting them at risk for being exposed to COVID-19. The main things that we've done from a clinic-wide standpoint is we restricted access to the clinic. We now only have one entrance into this, you know, 5-6-story building that we're in. Patients have temperature checks at the door and obviously are screened for symptoms. We've changed our waiting rooms around. We have obviously have social distancing 6 feet apart between every chair in the waiting rooms. We've also done the same in our nuclear waiting rooms. Our modality of choice for stress testing has always been PET with decreased scan times and decreased radiation exposures, improved sensitivity and specificity. But during the pandemic, we've really tried to make sure that everyone is getting PET, one, so they're not in the clinic as long with the decreased scan times. Two, we've also canceled all of our treadmill stress ECGs and treadmill nuclear stress just because of the increased risk of exposure with exercise to not only our staff, but also patients in the room. So those are our biggest changes that we've made so far as how we can safely bring our patients to be studied.
And that's great. I mean, those are a lot of really positive things and quick action. I'd like the fact, I mean, weekly meetings, and I would imagine that being part of a large multi-specialty group, you're all sharing ideas across departments and throughout the clinic. Jamie, what... How have you found your team? How have they been impacted in all of these changes? What are you seeing their resilience in dealing with these fast-moving modifications?
Right. We do have a great team. We see them taking care of themselves as far as PPE, as far as keeping the patients, making sure they have their PPE when they come in. We thought we cleaned good before, but we're cleaning like crazy now. Mm-hmm. Especially after each patient, and when our patients arrive, we've adopted so that when they check in at the front desk and it shows up on our screen that they're ready, we are there to escort them back so that they do not have to sit in the waiting room any longer than they have to. So just a lot more care given to that patient as soon as they walk in the door, just so they're not exposed to anything more than they have to be, and also to us.
Well, and I am curious about the post-test results discussion. How has that piece changed? And is that being done by telehealth visit now? Or what kind of changes have you made there?
Sure. I'll take this one, Jamie. As far as our post-test results now, all of our images are always reviewed before the patient's discharged to make sure there's no high-risk features that need to be addressed immediately. But we have embraced telehealth as well as telephone visits for reviewing results. We're trying our best to still, even at this point, to prevent patients from coming into clinic that aren't having active symptoms or don't need physical exam, EKG imaging, et cetera. So all of this is, we're probably doing, 80%+ telehealth right now.
Oh, wow. That's a huge percentage. What kind of modifications have you made to make that happen, to flip to that volume of telehealth visits? I imagine there were some big changes.
Absolutely. That was not a small feat. That was a lot of buy-in from our physicians, a lot of buy-in from our staff to make that change as quickly as we did. I mean, we went from, I would say 2 months ago, we probably did less than 50 telehealth visits a month at most, probably less than that, to now doing majority that way. We are on Epic, so we use a lot of the Iris telehealth technology. And then, of course, for a lot of our patients, we use FaceTime and other video visits.
Yeah.
The big deal that we have is that we're in a very rural area. So a lot of our patients that we take care of don't have enough internet access to have any kind of video encounter. So we've really appreciated and embraced the telephone visits as well, especially for a lot of these results.
So given all of this change, what, and all the swift action that you took, what are some of the biggest takeaways that you found during this COVID challenge? I mean, what did you learn from making these changes quickly? And did anything surprise you, Jamie?
Ooh, that's a good question. It just surprised me as far as how well, when things start going, what you may say, down here, things get scary, how well people can come to work together to especially try to get these patients in and give them the best care that they can get when you're still fighting this pandemic over here. We still try to call our patients before they come in the day before, just to let them know if they are a little apprehensive, what we are doing to keep them safe, as far as, like Dr. Douglas mentioned, that the front door with the taking temperature and screening and stuff like that. Just people coming together. I think that's been a big thing.
Yep, that's a great outcome. And Dr. Douglas, what would you add to that in terms of takeaways, learnings during this challenging time?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, we always say crises bring out the best and worst in people sometimes. And luckily, we've seen it bring out the best of a lot of people around here, which has been very encouraging. The one thing that we've tried to focus on the whole time was protecting our patients, not only from exposure to COVID-19, but more importantly, or as importantly to us, is to protect them from having morbidity and mortality from untreated cardiovascular disease. And, what I've realized is that you can make great changes in very short periods of time if everyone's focused on the same goal and have the same priorities in place.
I think that is a great point, and it's a perfect place for us to break for just a moment. And when we return, we'll talk about how Heart and Vascular at Hattiesburg Clinic plans to ramp up imaging services as Mississippi and the rest of the U.S. look toward reopening. So stay with us on MedAxiom Heart Talk. This podcast episode is sponsored by Bracco Diagnostics, the first company to invest in cardiac PET in the 1980s. Since then, the company has helped hundreds of practices seamlessly implement and maintain a PET program with efficiency, reliability, accuracy, and safety in mind. To discuss Cardiac Pet, contact Kim McDaniel at cardiacpet@bracco.com. That's cardiacpet@bracco.com. We're talking today with Dr. Chris Douglas and Jamie Branch, both with Heart and Vascular at Hattiesburg Clinic, a 300-provider multi-specialty clinic that's been serving South Mississippi for nearly 60 years. And we're recording this interview in early May, as many states are announcing plans for reopening businesses, which include, of course, healthcare services and organizations. So, Dr. Douglas, what concerns do you and your colleagues have about that, about reopening, and how are you preparing in CB services?
Sure. Yeah, this is going to be the next step in management of this epidemic, is how we get back to some form of the new normal. We are still, again, trying to keep patients we're still trying to encourage as much social distance and stay at home as much as possible with telehealth, and not bringing patients into clinic that don't have to be seen in person or have testing or exams. Mm-hmm. That being said, we're having a lot of patients now that are wanting to come back to clinic. So that's kind of the biggest thing that we're facing at the moment, is how to manage the social distancing and waiting rooms, and prevent, you know, a glut of patients from showing up at one time. We're trying to alter our clinic schedules to a certain extent and try to stagger a little bit more, so we don't have so many physicians in the clinic all at one time. Mm-hmm. We're also, same thing with our PET and imaging. I mean, we're having a backlog that we're trying to get rescheduled. As I mentioned before, we had a lot of patients who canceled their own test, and these patients are, a lot of them are still having symptoms and still need testing, and trying to get those rescheduled in a timely fashion without extending hours and again, protecting patients from exposure is what we're still kind of in the contemplation phase of how we're going to do that.
So, Jamie, what in that contemplation phase and all of the meetings that you're having, what are some of the specific things that you and your team are doing to start ramping up, and specifically in the area of PET imaging and imaging? What's happening on the ground?
Douglas said, with the backlog, we have probably over 200 patients that are sitting on a deferred list, mainly because they are a little bit apprehensive about coming back in. We did start to call patients at the beginning of the month or the end of April. They still were kind of leery, so we're giving them a few more weeks and call them back and see if, you know, if they are symptomatic, try to get them back in. If they want to wait a little bit longer, we just note it and we will give them a call back a week or so after.
Well, and what are your plans, Jamie, for making patients feel comfortable and safe, you know, when they come back? Because they do need to come in, and you're saying we've got some of these deferred patients for some concerns about exposure. How are you having that? Are you training the staff to have a particular communication with them, or say certain things to allay fears? How is that working?
Right. And we do, when we call to either prep the patients initially or call the day before, you know, we try to give them the comfort feel of that when they come back, they may see one or two other patients as they pass through the halls. Mm-hmm. We're trying not to go back to the way it was back then, which is a few months ago, where everybody is just on top of each other. We do have the luxury of having several different stress rooms that we can stage people in and get their procedure done within 25 minutes. If they have no issues, you know, take them straight to the checkout point and they're gone. Mm-hmm. They don't have to hang around.
Yeah. And so there's opportunity then for you to keep people physically distant from each other in a way that's safer, which is great.
Right.
Dr. Douglas, that you would add to that on how you on the physician side of things are working to make patients feel more comfortable and safe to come in when they really need treatment or tests?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and obviously this again really goes back to the patient-physician relationship and communication. You know, I mean, there are patients that we, you know, especially more, less in the PET and nuclear arena, but more in the echo vascular study arena, that some of these studies can be deferred. And if patients are apprehensive and concerned, I'm still very comfortable deferring those tests. For stress testing, most of these patients are, or almost all of these patients are symptomatic, and deferring tests, especially if they're not responding to medical therapy, I think having that conversation, telling patients, you know, the risk of delaying testing, and also the measures that we put in place to protect them, and again, to make their day as quick as possible up here and get them back to their safe place.
Well, we've talked about the patient concerns about safety. What are you encountering in terms of resistance or any feedback from employees who are feeling anxious about coming to work, especially as you ramp up? And what are your plans for keeping employees safe when it comes to PPE, things like that, and physical distancing? Jamie, what are you telling the folks on your team? How are you having that conversation with them?
Right. I think we as a whole somehow feel safer now at work than maybe before this happened, just because of all the safety measures that have come at the front door, the temperature and the questioning of any kind of fever, if you've had any symptoms. Wearing the PPP has taken a little while to get used to, but I haven't had any or heard of any negative feedback from it, because our staff knows that it's keeping us safe and keeping our patient volume, our patients safe.
And Dr. Douglas, what are you hearing from employees?
Yeah, we are blessed that we have a very dedicated staff, both to patients and to each other. So I think we've been really lucky from that point. We've also been blessed that we never really had a shortage of PPE. Mm-hmm. And we, as a group, we made it very clear from the beginning that we were not going to put our staff at risk. And if we didn't have PPE, then we weren't going to operate. So we've definitely had plenty of PPE. We've really made it a priority to explain to our staff why it is so important that we follow these strict guidelines. And like I said, I haven't heard one negative thing about employees' concerns about their safety. I think everyone is as cliche as it is, everybody's very concerned about our patients and getting them the care that they need, and knowing that we have the appropriate safety measures in place.
That's great. It sounds like you've done a whole lot of things to create a culture and an attitude like that amongst your staff. So that's terrific. If you think about all of the changes that you've made during the pandemic, what do you think might become permanent in your PET program as we move forward?
Sure. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't think we're all still kind of searching for what the new normal is going to be. And I feel like in the last week, we've maybe got some sort of semblance of what we think it's going to be like, at least for the next year. I think a few things that we have done that have been very positive. One, the telehealth visits and keeping patients safe at home has also made our clinic a little more efficient, in my opinion. The second thing I think that will be very promising is with the PET scan specifically, I mean, the shorter scan times, we've really pushed not only to our providers, but also to referring providers, the increased sensitivity and specificity, as well as the decreased radiation of that modality. I think that will probably grow in the future as well. I think those are probably the biggest long-term changes that I see. But the truth is, you know, until we get a vaccine or a treatment that is going to be viable, I have a feeling we're probably going to be in this workflow for some period of time.
Well, and to that end, I'm curious from both of you what you see as the biggest challenges that you're going to face over the next 3 to 6 months.
Sure. I think when we went into this, when this first started, all of us were obviously we were scared. We were concerned for our patients. We were concerned for ourselves and our families. But I think we thought that basically life was going to go on, and that we were going to end up having this huge backlog of months and months of scanning on the weekends. And what we actually saw was that clinic visits slowed, new patient volume slowed. So even though we do have this backlog of patients that we're trying to get in, the the inflow of current patients is slow. And I see that probably going on at least throughout the summer. I think that'll be the challenge is to continue running at a full capacity without having new patient volume and referrals. I think that's probably going to be our biggest challenge over the next 3 to 6 months once we get through this backlog.
I'm curious if there's anything that could impact the new patient referral volumes other than just vaccine or better treatment. Is there anything else you think is going to mitigate that, or are we just really going to need to wait until things settle in and we have a different normal a year from now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you can definitely tell just in the community here that, you know, every day seems to be a little more normal than the last. Whether that's rightfully so or not, I think is debatable. Mm-hmm. But I think as people get used to the masks and hand washing and social distancing, people feel a little more comfortable to come out. I think there is a real yearning for patients to come see their physician in person. Like I said, we as a clinic have done a lot of telehealth over the last 6 weeks, and more now when I'm scheduling somebody to come back and follow up with me in 3 months with telehealth, they're saying, well, why don't we just book it in clinic and we'll mm-hmm. see, we'll change it if need be. So I do think things are going to improve just from, you know, an overall comfort with the new normal. So I do think things will improve, but it's going to take time.
Yeah. And Jamie, how about you in terms of the challenges over this time and the next 3 to 6 months, I think, what do you see as some of those challenges in your practice and maybe in particular in imaging and PET imaging?
Yeah, and I agree. I think whenever the bands are a little more laxed and the patients are able to come and feel like they can come back into Hattiesburg and maybe go eat after their test or go shopping after their test, and they feel like that's the norm is back, they'll feel a little more comfortable about coming back in and having their procedure done, because I think it's just that still uneasiness that everything is shut down and we don't need to go anywhere right now. So I think when that comfort level comes back up, we'll get those calls back in to reschedule.
Got it. And Jamie, why don't you give us your final thoughts for CV leaders, let's say the leaders of imaging teams in CV organizations out there? What are your final thoughts as they look to keep their PET program safe and productive in today's environment?
Yeah, I think, you know, the PET program is a great program to have. If you don't have one, if you can look into it. Like Dr. Douglas said, it's a great 30-minute scan with less radiation. You get a lot more detail and diagnosis from it. We have a great Bronco team that keeps me informed either weekly or biweekly of what they can do to help us out. So PET is a great modality to have for patient care.
And Dr. Douglas, final thoughts as CV leaders consider keeping their imaging safe right now and patients safe?
Sure. Yeah, I second what Jamie said. I mean, it's a interesting time to be in cardiovascular medicine right now, especially with procedures and imaging. The most important things are working with your team and your team leaders, letting your staff know that they have a safe place to work, but more importantly, that your patients are going to have a safe place to come get their imaging testing. Specific to PET, we were blessed to be in the forefront of PET for many years now. Because in light of this pandemic, I mean, PET not only is a great imaging modality to begin with, but it's been the safest imaging modality for stress imaging modality for the pandemic as well. I think the main things are is just to continue focusing on taking good care of patients and remembering that there's still a lot of cardiovascular disease out there that needs to be treated.
With that, Dr. Douglas and Jamie, we know you have very hectic schedules and truly appreciate that you made the time for MedAxiom Heart Talk. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening today. If you like what you hear on MedAxiom Heart Talk, please refer us to a colleague. They can find us on Apple, Google, and many other podcast apps. And if you've been enjoying our program, please take 2 minutes to review it on your podcast app. That's all it takes, and we really appreciate those reviews. If you'd like to give us feedback directly, you can do that too. Just send us an email to hearttalk@medaxiom.com.